Good. Last week, we were taking a look at, and we're continuing this part two in conclusion, of looking at the topic of the bracha of Shachianu, what we call Birchat Hazman, and specifically the issue of Birchat Hashachianu as said when performing mitzvot. And we looked at several sources. I'm going to bring up the source sheet right now. We looked at several sources. It's the same sheet as we had last week. And we saw the Mishnah. We started, by the way, with the sugya at the end of Psachim about making Shachianu at the Pidyon HaBen. The question is, who makes it? We saw a couple of different girsaot in the different versions of the Gemara. And then we took a look at this Mishnah. I'm just quickly reviewing. We took a look at this Mishnah, which is the only place anywhere in the Mishnah that the bracha of Shachianu is mentioned. Now, two things to notice about this. And that is the following. First of all, we are under the impression, and there's a good reason for that impression, that we say Shachianu whenever we hear good news. The Mishnah says that's not the case. The Mishnah says that you make, when you hear good news, you make a bracha called Atov HaMetiv. And Shachianu is specifically associated with one thing, and that is acquiring some sort of a major thing that brings you happiness, like a new home or new clothes. That's part one. Part two is the wording of the bracha. We saw that the wording of the bracha in Ketav Yad Kaufman, which is the most reliable source version of the Mishnah, is Baruch Shehigianu Lazman Hazeh. All right. So we then took a foray and looked at the one other place where that word shows up anywhere in the Mishnah, and that is in the wording of the bracha that we say at the end of Magid. Which in some versions has Asher Ge'alanu V'Galat Avotenu Mitzrayim V'Higiyanu La'Layla Hazeh or V'Higiyanu Ha'Layla Hazeh. And we saw that there's a wide range of versions of that bracha, as we saw in source 7 through, really through 14, all the way through the Haggadah. And that might be a building block for the bracha. We've laid this all out as kind of signposts to come back to. So I want to add one more signpost here, and that's at the very beginning of the source sheet. In source 2, we hear the words of David. Now, the context here is appropriate, and I wanted to wait till this week for it, because in our minhag of Ashkenaz, this chapter is read as the end of the Haftarah that we read this past Shabbat. You know, the Sfaradim read only chapter 6, and only part of chapter 6, which is bringing the Aron up to Yerushalayim, not the very end, because the very end ends on a sour note with Michal being cursed, perhaps. But the Ashkenazim read further. We read into chapter 7, which is when David wants to express his desire to build the Mikdash. David has settled into Yerushalayim, whether he conquered it or moved in, unclear. He's made it his capital. He's brought the Aron there. And now his final desire, which is to build the Mikdash, Natan HaNavi says, go for it. And that night Hashem comes to Natan and says, time out. Not really. David cannot build it. His son will build it. And first I'm going to build his house, which is to build his dynasty. He will die. His son will take over. And then his son will build the house for me. David, and this is parts not in Haftarah, David then comes to Hashem. I don't believe we get this far in Haftarah. David then comes in to say a tefillah of thanksgiving. Oddly enough, at Thanksgiving, because even though he's been denied the one thing he asked, he has been promised a dynasty of Beit David, as we know it. And David says the following. This is how he starts his tefillah. So David comes in and sits in front of Hashem, which seems to mean in front of the Aron at this point. Vayomer, mi anochi Adonai Elohim. In other words, I'm not worthy. Umi veiti. Veiti here means my family, my dynasty that's going to be. Ki havi otani ad halom, that you have brought me up until this point, meaning you brought me so far as to take me from a simple kid who was the runt of the family, who was a shepherd, and brought me not only to become the acclaimed ruler over my tribe, Yehuda, but afterwards the acclaimed ruler over all the tribes. And then the biggest point is, the acclaimed ruler for all time, as denoted by God. You and your seed will be the rulers for all time. And the way he expresses it is, who am I that you have brought me to this point? All right. So again, another signpost. Let's leave it out there. We're going to tie all of this up together in the second half of the shiur. What we then saw was this important passage. They're all important, but this vital to us passage in the Tosefta, which listed four different mitzvot for which you say a shechianu. However, we saw that the wording here is a little bit shifted. We saw that this is about sukkah, lulav, tzitzit, and tefillin. Those are the four that are listed, and we don't know if this is an exemplar list or an exhaustive list, meaning are these four examples of things, or is this the list? What we saw that they had in common was they are all things where you create an object. In the case of sukkah, it's a hut. In the case of a lulav, you're putting it together. Tzitzit and tefillin, and three of them are things that have some permanence. Two of them are really have permanence, tzitzit and tefillin. Sukkah is at least like a mini home. Lulav, of course, is quite temporary, but it's when you make them, you make a shechianu. Now, important to note that and we saw this last week, but just a quick review, that I put the shechianu bracha in the blue, is that the first instance of it says Baruch Shigianu Lazman Hazeh, which is exactly the wording the Mishnah uses right there when it talks about Shechianu. The later instances are Baruch Shechianu V'Kimanu V'Yigianu Lazman Hazeh, which is the version we have in our liturgy. And the next two say Baruch Shechianu. Now, Baruch Shechianu is a legitimate short version. In other words, to say, because that's what we call it Shechianu. Why do we call it Shechianu? Because that's the first word of the nuance of the bracha. Every bracha has Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. The first word that's different is Shechianu, right? In other words, if we want to refer to the bracha you make on bread, how do we refer to it? What do we call it?
Hamotzi.
We're not going to call it Baruch, and we're not going to call it Haaretz. We're going to call it Hamotzi because that's the first unique word in the bracha. We can't refer to the bracha set on fruit as borei, because borei is three different brachot, or more than that. We can't even say borei pri, because that's already also going to be at least two brachot. So therefore we say ha'etz or ha'dama. But think about, and we can't say borei either for mizonot, so we say mizonot, because borei again leads to several. But how do we refer to the bracha that you make on the coffee you're drinking?
Shakol,
because that's the first unique word. So to have Shechianu as a short version of Shechianu is totally legit. The part that's troubling is Baruch Shigianu, because that's unusual to use the last word of a formula or the end of a formula and skip the middle of the formula. That's unusual. All right, let's keep that where it is. We noticed that when it came to Shechita, there was no mention of a Shechianu, but more critically, when it came to Brit Milah, there was no mention of Shechianu. And as we know, the Rambam's approach, we're going to see the Rambam today, the Rambam's approach is that you do make a Shechianu on Milah, right? Which means the Rambam is going to look at this list and say this list is certainly not exhaustive, right? And then we saw the one thing that really kind of threw us into a tizzy, which is Hayaho Lech Lafrish Truma Umasrot. You're the farmer and you're going to your silo to separate Trumot Umasrot. You say Baruch Shigianu Lazman Hazeh, and again back to Shigianu, Shum Afrishan. So you don't say it when you're walking; you say it when you separate them, and then you say the bracha Shekishalom Stavet Sivanu LaHafrish Truma Masrot. Now notice, and Sherwin pointed this out, that the order in all of these is shifted, where you say the Shechianu before the Berachat Mitzvah, as opposed to afterwards, the way we do it. We say Al Lishma Kol Shofar and then Shechianu, Al Mikra Megillah and then Shechianu. Here, Shechianu is said first in all of these cases. All right. We then, and again, I'm just laying out the minefield for us. And then we saw this other Tosefta that had us saying, again, Shehigianu, when you're bringing Menachot or you're bringing Zvachim. And I mentioned last week, towards the end of the shiur, we looked at this and said, who's making this bracha? So some of you suggested it's a Yisrael who's bringing the first korban that he ever brought in his life, the first korban of the year, whatever it may be, or he hasn't been there in a long time. And indeed, there are Rishonim who say that. Rashi in one place says that. Tosfot hits Rashi with a ton of bricks for the reason that I mentioned last week, which is that the language of the Tosefta indicates that it's one person making all these brachot, including Hamotzi when he eats the mincha. So that's got to be a kohen. And he's the kohen who's offering it. So why is the kohen saying, Baruch Shigiyanu Lazman Hazeh? What's going on? So again, laying it out. And the same thing with Zvachim. Okay. I'd like to skip. And then the last thing that we looked at was the language of what we remember, Modim Derabbanan. And in Modim Derabbanan, there's a phrase, Shechitanu V'kiyamtanu. And I mentioned that Weisenberg is of the opinion that that formed the other part, the Higianu from Pesach and Chitanu V'kiyamtanu from Modim Derabbanan, ended up forming the full bracha Shechianu. I don't buy it, and I explained last week why I don't buy it. So I have to offer an alternative explanation, and we're going to go from there. So I want to show you one thing in the Yerushalmi before we get to, because our main involvement here is going to be at the Bavli, but there's a passage in the Yerushalmi we have to see. The Talmud Yerushalmi here at the in Masachet Brachot quotes our Tosefta. Ha'oseh sukkah le'atzmo omer baruch asher kiddushan v'zav tzivan l'asot sukkah. La'acherim l'asot lo sukkah l'shmo. Now there's two things here that are critically different than our Tosefta. The first thing is that it distinguishes between making something for yourself and making something for other people to use. And there's a bracha that is presented here on making a physical mitzvah. So when you're making a sukkah for yourself, it's lasot sukkah. When you're making it for somebody else, lasot lo sukkah lishmo. And the same thing goes through lulav and mezuzah and tefillin. And then it also says that you make the bracha on the mitzvah. However, the sound of the Tosefta sounds an awful lot like our Tosefta here. Except for one huge thing that's missing, which is Shechianu. There is no Shechianu here. The Yerushalmi doesn't quote that at all. Now, is that because the Yerushalmi has a different version of the Tosefta without Shechianu? Is it because this is a totally different braita that is taught, that is focused on the issue of the bracha made when making a physical mitzvah, not Shechianu, but la'asot, and the distinction between making it for yourself and somebody else? Okay, so another thing to put out there in the minefield, and now let's get into the Bavli. The Bavli here in Masachet Sukkah, question source 18, quotes our Tosefta and quotes it exactly as we have it, with one critical addition. It adds in Shechianu Mekimanu V'Gianu. This is not unusual, and I'll suggest why that happened. Ha'oseh lulav la'atzmo omer baruch Shechianu Mekimanu V'Gianu lazman hazeh. Now this is in the Bavli, right here, right in front of us. Netalo la'tzeipo omer baruch Hashem Yisrael Mitzvah 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 Mitzvah. By the way, how many of you make a Shechianu when you build your sukkah or make your lulav? Correct. Okay, and yet here it is in the Bavli, uncontested seemingly, right? And then it switches the order around. Sukkah is second instead of first, and here it distinguishes and says that you make a bracha lulav each day. It quotes Tosefta saying that, remember we saw this last week, that on Sukkah you make the bracha the first night, and that's it. You don't make the bracha shekidishanu anymore because it's a nonstop mitzvah day and night. And now ha'oseh sukkah l'atzmo barach shechianu v'kiyamanu. Does not quote not go further because the topic here is sukkah. What happened to this? So I want to take a look together with you at the Rif. Just a very quick bio sketch. Rabbi Yitzchak of Fez, who died in 1103, his career was mainly 11th century, lived in Morocco. They had to leave Morocco and move to Spain because of the Almohadin. That eventually also ended up coming into Spain, and then that's where the Rambam's family left, the unifiers, the ones who demanded that you accept Allah or hell to pay, and he ended up moving to Spain. Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi wrote an abridged version of the Gemara, which he called Halachot, and that was exactly the point of it, was to distill every Talmudic discussion to its halachic parameters and halachic final decision, cutting out most of the discussion, cutting out all of the agadot, cutting out all the extraneous material, and you ended up with a much smaller version which therefore was more accessible to most people. And so it's commonly known as the Rif. It's printed in the back of all standard shasas, and it looks like a Gemara to the point where some people actually will open up the back of a Gemara and think there's a mistake here. The printer reprinted the Gemara on the back. That's not the case. It's the Rif. And the Rif became a very popular work early on in the 12th century, and was commented on by people already in the 12th and 13th century. Okay. The Rif says the following. Tanu Rabbanan, Hosel Ulav Latzmo Omer Baruch Shechianu V'Kimanu V'Gianu L'Zman Hazeh. So he quotes this. Talola, and again, my question is, why don't we do this? Talal Tepo Omer Baruch Asher Kinshom Stavet Sivanu Al Netilat Lulav. Okay. Be'afo Pish Shebirach B'Yom Mishon Chazem V'Rach B'Yom Sheni Says Sukkah Latzmo Omer Shechianu V'Kimanu V'Gianu L'Zman Hazeh. Again, when you make a Sukkah. Okay. So read through and all the way through. And then we have the discussion about tefillin, which is not relevant to our particular thing. And then he quotes Tanu Rabbanan, Haoseh Sukkah Latzmon Berech Shechianu V'Kimanu V'Gianu L'Zman Hazeh, Hayta Asuya V'Omedet Im Yechol Hachadesh Ba Davar Mevarech Miyad. And so now he adds something in, which is that the only time you can say Shechianu, I'm building the Sukkah, is if you're actually making a Sukkah. In other words, not a Sukkah that's always been there, but you add something new to the Sukkah, then okay, you make the bracha. V'im lav, l'chshi kanes l'shev ba mevarech shtayim. All right? So if you cannot add something new, then when you come into the Sukkah, you make two brachot, l'shev ba Sukkah and shachian. Ravashi chazino l'rokad v'sadeh l'hai kul hei akosa d'kidusha. And then Rav Ashi testifies that his Rebbe, Rav Kana, that's Rav Kana, the second Rav Kana, he saw that he made all of these brachot on the coast, meaning Shechianu and Lecheva Sukkah, which are presented up until this point as independent brachot, not necessarily said at the same time, not necessarily said even on Yom Tov themselves, that he said them all on the coast of Kiddush, which is exactly what we do. So what happened? And I mean, this is our practice. What happened here and what happened to making the Shechianu on the Sukkah? So for that, we're going to take a look at Tosfot. Tosfot here in Sukkah. Now, Sarich Lefaresh, and Tosfot here is going to help us a lot with a lot of our issues. Ta'am, Ma'ishna di yesh mitzvot tkinu l'varech shachianu, yesh mitzvot shalot tkinu asiyat sukkah, why are there certain mitzvot where the rabbis established, and we have to see how that happens, a shachianu, when you may do this mitzvah, and there's mitzvot that we don't have. Give me an example of a mitzvah that we do, we don't make a Shechianu. Did you put on tefillin today? Most of them. You say Shechianu?
No.
No, why not?
Because we do it every day.
We do it every day. We don't do it every day, we do it most days. Okay, good. So why the certain mitzvot that we do regularly, so no Shechianu? Tosfos is going to take this further. So when you build a sukkah or make a put a lulav together, we find it here. However, notice that even though the Braita, the Tosefta, remember this, the Gemara didn't quote this part. The Gemara only quoted the first two parts, which was sukkah and lulav. The next two parts about tzitzit tefillin weren't quoted, and he said they didn't make such a takana, which is interesting because it's there in the Tosefta. Because in Menachot, we don't have time to look at all the sources, in Menachot, we find that even though the Tosefta said you make a bracha when you make tzitzit, Shechianu, when you make tzitzit, we don't do it. Now, important to note that we have this bracha in Yerushalmi. When you make a sukkah, la'asot sukkah. La'asot lulav. He said, but you find that there is no mitzvah la'asot tefillin, even if you put them together for the first time. And then Tosfot says, in the very fact that it doesn't mention Shechianu, there's no Shechianu there either. V'chein ha'pidyon ha'ben mevarech Shechianu. Do we make a Shechianu ha'pidyon ha'ben? That's how we started the whole thing. You make Shechianu ha'pidyon ha'ben. The only question is, who makes that bracha? So, Now, this is Tosfot Shita. We don't make a Shachianu at Brit Milah. That's the minig of Chutz La'aretz, of Ashkenazim and Chutz La'aretz, right? Right, we saw that in the Tosefta. List the bracha you make on the milah, the bracha the father makes, lach and so, the bracha that the mevarech makes, jasher kidesh, and there's no shachianu there. Right, so Rambam will explain his position. The chena kriat migilah mevarech shachianu. Right, we saw this last week. The ilo kriat halal lo mevarech. How come we don't make a shachianu halal? And there you can't do your tefillin answer, which is that we don't do it that we do it regularly. We don't say halal regularly. And we don't say shachianu on halal. Right?
I mean, that's
an
easy answer because halal is no action. It's just
Very, very good. Good, good, good. Let's take what Sherwin says for a minute and spin off of that. Excellent. Is there a mitzvah from the Torah that you do? Every Friday night?
V'yichulu Hashem Mayim V'aretz.
Kiddush. Do you make a bracha on Kiddush? Asher Kiddushan V'tzvon V'tzvon V'kaddish in HaShabbat.
Bracha, yeah.
Do you make a bracha Asher Kiddushan V'tzvon V'tzvon V'kaddish in HaShabbat before you make Kiddush?
No.
You don't? Do you make a bracha every time that you bench, that's a mitzvah d'oraita. Do you make a bracha Asher Kiddushan V'tzvon V'tzvon V'verech HaLamazon?
No.
All right. Let's say these days when we daven Maariv early, like Friday night, we daven Maariv early. And then what do they remind you? When you get home, what do? After dark, make sure not to forget to Sfira and
Repeat Shema.
When you say Kriyat Shema again, you say a bracha. Asher Kiddushan V'tzvon V'kaddish Kriyat Shema?
No.
All right. There is a sheet in the Gaonim that says to do it. We don't do it. Why not? So Sherwin will answer very simply. These things themselves are not actions, they're brachot. You're not going to make a bracha on a bracha. So the same way, you're not going to say shachianu on halel, because the halel itself is itself just a pronouncement. Somebody challenge that?
We make a bracha on halel. We open up halel.
We don't make the shachianu on halel.
Not shachianu, right. We make a bracha on the crow at the halel.
Right, good. Which proves to you that halel is not the same as kiddush, right?
Right.
And then for you to make a bracha on it, to when I make a shachianu. And I'll circumnavigate that one by pointing out that we make a shachianu on Megillah. Right? Which, by the way, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Megillah and Hallel are parallels. Right? We don't say Hallel and Purim because we read the Megillah instead. So, not so simple. Not so simple. Okay, why we don't say that on
except the Megillah itself, is not a tefillah. Everything else is, you mentioned, is a tefillah or a bracha. The Megillah itself is an action because it's a separate book.
You mean because you have to read from it?
Yes, and it intrinsically is not a tefillah, the Megillah.
Okay. Although again, there's that opinion of Rav Nachman that Kriyata Zui Yilula, that the Megillah is the Hallel on Purim. And we could say, except for that opinion, that might work. What you're saying? I agree with you. It's not simple at all. And he admits, so he says, so now they're going back to the Mishnah and saying, oh, you make a bracha on new clothes. He said, we don't really rely on that. Why? Because as we see in Eruvin Daf Mem, you need something that comes from time to time, meaning that it's on a regular season, which, of course, is hugely problematic because what's the very first thing the Mishnah talks about when it comes to Shachianu? A new house. What's new house day on our calendar? Of course, that's a silly question. There's no such thing, right? You build a new house when you build a new house. So when you move in, say Shachianu. Or when you build it, you say Shachianu. It's not like it's on the calendar. So he says that we have a problem with Pidyon HaBen because it doesn't fit the model, but is that really the model? All right. I want to say one more thing on this Gemara, which is the commentary of the Ritva, Rabbeinu Yom Tov ben Avraham, Seville. Osesu kal atzmo merzman. This is again, now by the way, he just paraphrases it. When you make a sukkah for yourself, you make a shachianu. This is what the Gemara says. And based on following the Tosefta, Perush, now watch this. B'sha'as sa'ah toch 30 yom l'chag. The mitzvah says here, if you build a sukkah within 30 days of Sukkot, you make shachianu. The chayla alei chuvat sukkah. This, by the way, where's the 30 days come from, parenthetically? Where's that idea that that if you build a sukkah within 30 days, it's now really part of the mitzvah? Where'd the 30 days come from? The 30 days came from what?
Didn't it mention it in the Mishnah that you...
Came from Pesach. Came from Pesach, right? That the halacha is in the Tosefta, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag,
Shalim
V'dorshim V'alchot
Achag.
Specifically Pesach. Shem Gamliel says 2 weeks. From Rosh Chodesh Nisan, say from after Purim, 30 days, which by the way, then has halachic implication. So for instance, if you're going away in February for a 6-month cruise, you do not need to do B'dikat Chametz. But if you're going away a week before Pesach for a 6-month cruise, you do have to do B'dikat Chametz. If it's in 30 days, the chovah of the chag falls on you. And the same idea with a sukkah, you want to make it l'shem hachag, it has to be within the 30 days. So the Ritva says, therefore, if you are building a sukkah within 30 days, you make a shachianu, because then it's already within the range of Sukkot. Avalo korim shloshim yom, right? And he quotes from the first parak of Pesachim about biur chametz. That's it. V'chein dat mori, that's the Ra'or, Rabbeinu Aaron Alevi, was the Ritva's Rebbe. U'may damrin aita suyav omedet. And now he quotes the Gemara that says that if the sukkah was around, haynu afilu b'shaita omedet v'asuya mikorim shloshim yom l'shem achag mamash. Let's say you had a sukkah. Some of us have a sukkah up all year, which is built original L'Shem Sukkah, and every year we shake a little something to make it L'Shem Achad, those of us who, if we're COVID-strapped and stay in Chutz L'Arts for Sukkot. Okay. Now notice what he says. Everybody agrees that when you build a sukkah or when you put your lulav together, you should only say Shachianu. We don't make that bracha. This is what the Yerushalmi said. We don't make that bracha, which is the bracha on command, that God commanded us to make a thing for a mitzvah. Now watch where the Ritva ends up. He ends up saying, when you build your sukkah, if it's within 30 days, you say the Shachianu. When you put your lulav together, we have to assume it's within a few days of Sukkot, right? You make a Shachianu. He said, but you don't make the bracha, asher kiddushan of mitzvotav tzivanu la'asot. Now, why is it so critical for us? Because in our practice, when do we make a Shachianu in the context of mitzvot? We always make it at the same time that we make the bracha on the mitzvah, right? We always make it together. And here he says the exact opposite. Even though we're not going to make a bracha on physically constructing a sukkah, there is no bracha la'asot sukkah. We reject the Yerushalmi, he says. Nonetheless, that's when you would make the Shachianu, independent of that. Now, I'm going to ask you to ask the Ritva the following question. And we don't do seances, so we'll have to figure it out on our own. You made a Shachianu when you built your sukkah, a week before Sukkot. Now you come into the sukkah and you're making Kiddush. Do you make a Shachianu or not? What do you think?
Yes.
You made a Shachianu when you built the sukkah. Now you come in to make Kiddush on Yontif night. You make a Shachianu. Somebody said, what?
Yes.
Two different actions. One was building the sukkah.
Yeah.
And the other was sitting in the sukkah.
Well,
and the chiyuv in the sukkah is only on sukkah.
So now you're going to tell me that you make a Shachianu on building the sukkah, even though there's no bracha on building the sukkah. And then there's going to make a Shachianu on the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. Bill, you had a different approach?
No.
Oh, you said you make the bracha. Do you have a different reason?
If you make the bracha, I say you make the bracha because it's in the sitter. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't make a bracha Friday night on Kiddush.
Say it again?
We don't make a bracha Friday night on Kiddush.
Good. So why would we make a bracha first night of Sukkot, Shachianu, even if we already made the bracha 2 days before when we built the Sukkah?
Because Lesheva Sukkah, it's an action.
What's on the chag?
Very last. Oh,
yeah. Okay. You're not making a Shachianu because of Kiddush. You're making Shachianu because you are about to Lesheva Sukkah.
Okay. So I'm going to take, I got two koanim here. I can't flip a coin. So I'm going to start with Sherwin just because he's on my screen is in that direction. All right. And I'm moving to the right. So you guys figure that one out. Now,
Sherwin says, President Biden would, but carry on.
So Sherwin says that I'm making a Shachianu now on the mitzvah of Leshev Basukah. And before I made a Shachianu on the building of the Sukkah, even though the building of the Sukkah evidently is not a mitzvah because I don't make a bracha on building the Sukkah. Okay. That's possibility one. Possibility two. Abe, you say I make a Shachianu because? Abe, you said I make a Shachianu because?
Because of the chag.
There we go. We got a whole different thing cooking, which is I made a Shachianu 2 days ago when I built the Sukkah, which by the way, I've never seen anybody do, but that's the ritva. I make a Shachianu 2 days ago when I built the Sukkah on building a sukkah. We have to see why that's a Shachianu. Then I'm going to make another Shachianu at night because it's Yontif. I got to make a Shachianu on having arrived at Yontif. Right? Maybe. Okay? Let's see what happens. Okay. I want to show you someone we don't encounter too often, a 13th century Provençal Chacham. Truth is, we encounter the Provence in the 13th century all the time. The Meiri, remember, is at the beginning of the 14th century, right? But Sefer Ma'orot, which is one of those lesser-known Rishonim, makes the following observation. Again, okay, so the Gemara said it very clearly. We've seen it already quoted in the Rif and in the Ritva. If the Sukkah was already up, if you can change something, you make Shachianu then. If not, you make Shachianu when you come in at night, which means, by the way, Sherwin, we're going to split it now and say, and by the way, Abe, it also seems that you don't make a Shachianu if you made it when you built it. Now, Abe's got a good question. So what about Yontif? And Sherwin's got a question. What about the mitzvah of Lesheva Sukkah? All right, good. Let's keep going. Some of our teachers, they make all of them on Kiddush. By the way, that's exactly what we do. That's our custom. First 2 days of Sukkot, it's in Provence, not in Israel, we make Shachianu, right? And Alon Tilat Lulav. Again, the way we do it. So I don't understand why the first day would be less significant than when you put the lulav together or the sukkah together. Watch what he says. He is inferring the opposite of what we said, which is if you made Shachianu when you built the sukkah, you're not going to make Shachianu again when you come in. He said, why should that be stronger? So now he said, now I really don't get it. My assumption is that you made a Shachianu when you put the lulav together. You're never going to say Shachianu lulav again that year, right? That's his assumption. But then he tells, so then how come if you didn't make a Shachianu when you put the lulav together, why are you making the Shachianu on day one and day two? See his problem? Why is day one weaker than pre-Yontif? Pre-Yontif, one Shachianu covers all. But if you don't make it pre-Yontif, day one, you still got to take it day two. He says something brilliant here. He says as follows. In Migra Gara, first day is actually weaker. Why? Shayom Rishon ena kavanah l'shayom hu ikar mitzvato. Why are you saying Shachianu on first day of Lulav? First day of Sukkot when Shik Lulav? Why are you saying Shachianu? Because today is the day of the mitzvah. Right? I'm saying it because today I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. Am I fulfilling the mitzvah today? Say it again. Exactly. Am I really fulfilling a mitzvah today? I can't say it with certainty because if I did, I wouldn't have a second day yontif, would I? It's brilliant in brilliant approach. He says, "Shema eini kar mitzvato yom sheni." Maybe I'm not even fulfilling a mitzvah yet. Maybe I can't do it till tomorrow because calendar. Right? So now he takes Abe's position. So watch how he splits it between Abe and Sherwin, and watch this, beautiful. When it comes to lulav, if I make the shachian when I put it together, I'll never again make the shachian. Because I either made it when I put it together, or I make it when I shake it for the first time. But sukkah, even if I make the shachian when I build it, I'm going to make another shachian when I come in because, here we go, Abe. Yelinyan sukkah b'shibarach b'shat asiyam v'rech b'shat kiddush. Why? Shachianu mishum yom tov. Tziyantif. V'lagar mishar yamim tovim. All right, and then he points out that if for some reason it was raining the first night, you didn't eat in the sukkah, then you say shachian the first time that you come in and eat in the sukkah, even if you made it when you built it. Okay?
I'm surprised they don't ask the question. Nowhere in the Torah do you have the mitzvah of building a sukkah.
Yeah,
mitzvah is l'sheva sukkah. Never says build a sukkah.
And nowhere
why would you make a bracha on something that the Torah never told you to do?
Right, and by the way, of the four things that are listed in our Tosefta, there's only one where the Torah uses the word la'asot, which is la'asu lahem tzitzit. There's no mitzvah la'asot tefillin, there's no mitzvah la'asot sukkah, and there's no mitzvah la'asot lulav. They're just necessary steps towards it, which may mean that we're dealing with something very different than we thought. Maybe what we're dealing with is a bracha that you're making on taking the first step towards fulfilling mitzvah. And the first necessary step, without which you can't do it, is to put it together. You can't shake lulav without having the arba minim put together. You can't live in a sukkah without building a sukkah or having a sukkah, right? So it could be that that's what's going on, and that might be why the shechianu that you make on lulav beforehand means you don't make another shechianu lulav. You already made the shechianu of lulav. In one stage of the process, which is putting it together. Sukkah, though, we're going to take what Avram said, which is you still need to make a bracha nyantif, because that's a separate piece. Okay.
Maybe that's why on the first day where shechiyonah fits in is different than the second day, like before leishiva sukkah or after leishiva sukkah.
Say it again.
I said on the first day you make the bracha, I think shechiyonah and then leishiva sukkah.
Right.
And on the second day, you say Leisha Vesukah, and then one of you, I don't know.
We flip it. The first night, we say Shachianu at the end.
Right.
The second night, our minig is
Leisha Vesukah as well.
Right. And the second night, we say Shachianu, then Leisha Vesukah. There's a lot of interesting Torah about that, about why that's the case, and what the Shachianu is really covering, as it were. So I want to take you to a tshuva of the Rambam. All right. Here's a tshuva of the Rambam. And the Rambam took a look at our Tosefta very differently. Watch what he said. But I really do want to circle back and see about both things, where this whole Tosefta is coming from, how the wording of Shachianu came, what it is, and how things changed from the Tosefta, which talked about making a Shachianu when you create these things, to our practice, which is not mentioned anywhere except maybe in a Tosefta, of making a Shachianu when you fulfill mitzvot for the first time in some context. And we might have to come back to our Tosefta about the Menachot and Zvachim. Let's see. The Rambam is asked as follows. This is in Tshuvot HaRambam. There's several different versions of Tshuvot HaRambam. I'm working with, I believe this is the Blau text. HaShelah Chav Gimel. So it was asked a whole series of questions here by one particular community. Let's say that you had a house and the mezuzah came down. You put up a new mezuzah. You make another bracha. All kviat mezuzah. And do you make a shechianu when you put it up? Now watch what he does. He quotes the Tosefta. Hatshuva. Lashon Tosefta b'sof brachot. This is not our version of the text. This is a wild statement. I want to take you back to the Tosefta because we do not have any version of the Tosefta that says this. Take a look at this. What's the first line of the Tosefta in Halachat Tet, right there at the top of the page? What does it say?
I said, Kol HaMitzvot.
Mevarech Aleihem. What does that mean? What does that mean? And I want to leave this for now to circle back to it. What does that mean? How is set kol mitzvot mevarech aleihen?
Any mitzvah you do, make a bracha.
Make a bracha. What's that bracha?
Asher kishana.
Asher kishana. That's what we assume. This is introducing something new, which, by the way, does not exist in the Mishnah, which is Birchat HaMitzvot. You cannot find Birchat HaMitzvot in the Mishnah. The idea of making a bracha before doing a mitzvah. And so this seems to be where it's introduced. And then, though, jarringly, what does the next line of the Tosefta say? So suddenly Shachianu got in here, snuck in here, out of nowhere, and it seems to be a non sequitur. The Rambam evidently had a version of the Tosefta that we do not have, that read, what does that mean?
That you have to do two mitzvot, two brachot every time.
But he's saying, for all mitzvot, we say Shegianu. No. Now, clearly, the Rambam is not going to suggest that every day you say Shegianu on tefillin. But now watch. He's skipping because he wants to get to the Shachianu pieces. All right? And then he quotes from the other Tosefta, Hamakriv menachot b'Yerushalayim erech Shegianu. Hamakriv zachim Yerushalayim erech Shegianu. Right? And then he quotes the rest of it. Ukvar nitpa'er lecha. This is how the Rambam reads it. But remember, the Rambam has a different version of the Tosefta here. Ukvar nitpa'er lecha shamitzvot yivarech alayhen b'tchilat asiyatan shehech Shegianu. What does b'tchilat asiyatan seem to mean?
The very first steps, like building the sukkah.
Right. So it could be read in one of two ways, but I think Sherwin's right. One way to read it, which I think is not the way it is the first time you do it. But that's not what it means. I think he's right. That all mitzvot, when you first create the object of the mitzvah, you make shachianu. And by the way, notice he says that his text of the Tosefta is consistently shigianu, and then he calls it shachianu because that's what we call it. And then the Rambam now in this tshuva is, as usual, crystal clear, a paradigm and a paragon of precision. Hamitzvot nechlakot bezel l'shlosha chalakim. We've got three kinds of mitzvot for which we say shachianu. For you ready? Harishon b'hem. First one. Shekol mitzvat asei. Bein shel Torah, bein shel divrei. It's d'oraita d'rabbanan. Shemechayevet mizman lezman. Any mitzvah that you're obligated to do occasionally, meaning at seasons, kugon sukkah v'shofar v'lulav v'ner chanukah mikra megillah, v'rechlan shachianu, say shachianu. V'zei yadum for some, everybody knows that, right? That's A. B, hachelek hasheni, this is a $200 coming on Jeopardy, everybody knows that. Hachelek hasheni kol mitzvah. Second is any mitzvah, shikinyan ha'adam rechishat davar. Anything which involves an acquisition, kegon tzitzit utfilin umzuzal ma'akeh. He says, even when you put a parapet around your roof, you make a shachianu. Why? Lemerech tchilat asiyatan shachianu. Now, by the way, does the Rambam look at our Tosefta as an exhaustive list or as examples?
Examples.
It's clearly as examples. And the way he reads the opening line changes everything. For all mitzvot, you say shigianu. Here's four examples. All right, so he said, "Lo tezu p'chuta mikoneh kelim charashim or b'nei bayit charash." Imagine this: if when I buy a new suit, I make shachianu, certainly when I buy tzitzit, I make shachianu. Why should my talit be less than a new suit? Rayal zeh mashem rab raita b'davar berchat hazman al tzitzit v'al tefillin. So it talks sukkah lulav is because it's seasonal. Tzitzit tefillin is because it's possession. Mashem rab calling tefillin v'achin alayin shachianu v'gimayianu. What's the third thing? Kol mitzvah she'ina tedira, something that's not frequent. Ve'in adam matmid ba'asiyata b'chol, not something you do all the time. Even though it does not set in a season, since it's not all the time, it feels occasional. Right? Like makriv menachot. Now remember, we had that problem. What's the braita about menachot? What's that about? Who's the Kohen making the bracha? It's Yisrael. Who is it? Why? The Rambam is going to give a beautiful take. Pinyan ben is not seasonal. Pinyan ben is not an acquisition, because who's making the bracha? Shachianu. Not the Kohen, right? You understand why the Gemara thought maybe the Kohen should make the bracha? Because of the acquisition.
Yeah. He was making a profit off of it.
Exactly. No, why not? But in the end, who makes the bracha? The father, because even though Pinyan HaBen is not seasonal, ooh, it's Pinyan HaBen month. It's once in a life. You had a kid and you're not in the family of the Levi and Kohen. So you have to do Pinyan HaBen one time. All right? Most of the people looking here at the stage never did Pinyan HaBen. You're the Kohanim, you're related to Kohanim, you're Levim, right? My wife's about Levi. We saved $5. All right.
You must have a cheap Kohen.
Okay. So Lachem Rachel Shachianu, right? So like Makrim Nachod Pinyon Aben, here's that's one Mila. And therefore the Rambam says the same thing applies to Brit Mila. This is the Rambam. Sha'avi haben mevarech shachianu. The Mishnah, why would that be different than Pinyon HaBen? I don't get it, the Rambam says. Why would you make a bracha on Pinyon HaBen and not make a bracha on Milah of the Ben? He said, you know why the Tosafta didn't mention Brit Milah? We noticed it was missing in the Braita. The Braita mentioned the bracha of the Mohel and the bracha of the father and the bracha of the Mvarech and left out Shechianu. He said, because everybody knows it. We saw this at the very beginning of last week. The Rambam says, the Gemara never asked, do we say Shechianu or Pinyan HaBen? And asked one question, which was, who says it? Right? It's clear. Sheafshar below zman. You cannot have such a mitzvah without Shechianu. And the only question Pinyan HaBen is, who makes the bracha? Right? And so now, said, why did I give you these three categories in this tshuva? So you will know that anything that doesn't fit these categories doesn't have zman. We got a problem. If you're separating Truman Masrot, you don't make a Shachianu on separating Trumot and Masrot. Why am I saying, uh-oh? Because what's the Rambam's entire source here for saying Shachianu on Brit Milah? There you go. What's the Rambam's entire source for making Shachianu? Is this Tosefta right here? Mr. Tosefta, remember this? This is our baby. This is our source right here for everything. Hosea calling its phone Mevarech Alehen. What does the Rambam have? Mevarech Alehen Shehigianu. He has that word in here. Mevarech Alehen Shehigianu. Right? And now, what are the examples given in the Tosefta? Sukkah, Lulav, and they're because they are seasonal. The Rambam, tzitzit tefillin, because they're acquisition. And now what about paragraph Yud Dalad? What does it say? Haya holech lafrish truma masrot omer baruch shigiyanu lazman hazeh. So imagine how strange things are. We have a Tosefta that lists five examples, and by the way, blows past Brit Milah and doesn't mention Shechianu. Mentions everything else about Brit Milah. Even tells you how much to pay the caterer, but doesn't mention Shechianu. And yet the Rambam insists you make a Shechianu on Brit Milah. As you know, that's a machloket, poskim. He says you make a Shechianu on all these mitzvot. You put up a mezuzah, you make a Shechianu. Put up a parapet, you make a Shechianu. But the Rambam also has a bracha for putting up a maket. And yet, when you separate Trumot and Masrot, because it doesn't fit any of these, what does it not fit? It's not seasonal. It's not Trumot Masor day. I can challenge that by the way in a second. It's not something which brings tremendous simcha like you know, something that happens very occasionally, like a baby being born. And it's not an acquisition. I'm giving something away to the Kohanim in Levim. So you don't make Shachianu. The only problem is the Braita says you do. You understand the problem?
Yeah.
The Rambam includes things that are not anywhere here, and the Rambam excludes one that's explicitly here.
But why do you say it's not seasonal? You can't give maaser unless you've gathered your crop.
Yeah, and by the way, I would have thought my take on this would have been: you know why you say Shachian on Shemot and Maserot? Because you're celebrating the fact that you now have a harvest, and you're able to give part of it, and you finish all of your gathering, and now it's time to give it. It's a beautiful thing. The Rambam says explicitly: there's no Shachian on Shemot and Maserot.
His version must not have included it.
Is that again?
His version must not have included it.
Oh, you sneak the peek. Good for you. Okay, let me show you something up here.
No peeking, it's native intelligence.
All right. Take a look here at this Tosefta. We'll talk for a minute about this. The Tosefta, which is a compilation of Braitot that was compiled... Some of them, it predates the Mishnah, but the compilation postdates the Mishnah. The compilation and the redaction of it may be actually much later, and I'm going to make that argument in a minute, meaning the final presentation of the Tosefta that we have may be much later. By the way, there are Chachamim that are not mentioned in the Mishnah. They missed the Mishnah, but they made it into the Tosefta. And the most famous example is Rav. Rav is in the Tosefta, right? Tosefta and Beitza. So Tosefta is a little later. The Tosefta that we have, there are three major manuscripts of the Tosefta. There's the Vienna manuscript, which is this. This is based on Vienna. There's the Erfurt manuscript, which is considered to be, some consider it to be the best. Liebman considered Vienna to be the best, and there's the London manuscript. And then there's all sorts of Geniza fragments. Alan must have sneaked a peek because guess what? This entire line is not in the Erfurt manuscript. The Erfurt manuscript reads, Ha'olech l'frish tshuvot u'masrot, Omer baruch asher gishal zvan zvan l'frish tshuvot u'masrot. That's it. Everything that's in highlighted in green is not there. And you notice here what's going on. You notice here what's going on is that if this Braita indeed does not include, as the Erfurt manuscript would have it, and the Rambam evidently had it that way, there's no way in the world the Rambam is going to quote a Tosefta and then blow past the explicit words in the Tosefta. He must have not had it there, which means the Rambam had a very different Gersa. He had a Gersa that started out, and this is the critical piece, how set calling mitzvot mevarech alein shigiyanu. Right? Boom, 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 boom. And nothing here about Shemot u'Masrot, which means the Rambam reads that there's a general statement you always make a shehigianu when you do a mitzvah. And then it gave examples. What were the examples? Well, the four examples here, two of them were seasonal things and two of them were acquisitional things. And then there were, in this Braita, two things, and this comes out beautifully according to the Rambam, two examples of his third category, which is things that come occasionally that are festive, but are not seasonal, meaning there's no one particular time that you bring that mincha, you bring that zevah. Now, who are you here? So Tosfot here gives an answer as to what's going on. I think the Rambam will subscribe to this clearly, although the Rambam says, has a different take in the Mishnah Torah. You're a Kohen. How often, we talked about this last week, how often do you get to Yerushalayim?
2 weeks a year.
Twice a year, right? You have two Mishmerot. In your Mishmeret, how many days, your Mishmeret is there for 9 days, really, Friday to Sunday, but you're really on for 7 days, Shabbat to Shabbat. How many days are you personally on? 1 day, because your Mishmeret is divided into six batei av. So you have 1 day. So that day when you bring a mincha, that's the first time you brought the mincha this trip, this half year. So you're going to make a shechianu. It now makes sense. And by the way, according to the Rambam, it's beautiful. What the Tosefta did in between the two paragraphs is it brought two examples of each category. of things that are seasonal at set times, things that are acquisitional, and things that are festive things that come from time to time. And so menachot and pinyon haben and brit milah will all be in kind of the same category. Mezuzah and ma'akeh and tzitzit and tefillin will all be in the same category of acquisition, right? And sukkah and lulav and shofar, etc. Okay. So now, according to the Rambam, ha'oseh, and this sure when it gets back to what you said about an action, now becomes the watchword. It's got to be something where you're doing the mitzvah, right? Where there's an action involved in the mitzvah. But and now you understand how it got from this limited list to suddenly all the mitzvot that we do in different times. The last thing I want to talk about with the 2 minutes remaining, stealing 3 minutes from your afternoon, are the language of the bracha. And there's an interesting phenomenon that takes place. And we saw this last week with the bracha in the Haggadah here. I'd like to contend, based on all the information we have here, that the original wording of this bracha was Baruch Shehigianu Lazman Hazeh. And it's based upon this pasuk. David says, Mi Anochi Adonai Elohim Mi Beiti Ki Havi Otani Ad Halom. He's saying it in a way of modesty, a way of self-abnegation. I'm not worthy, but I'm not worthy of what? Having been brought to this position. That you have brought me to this position. Havi Otani Ad Halom. Higianu La Laila Hazeh, which was said in the times of the Mikdash. Right? And it's Higianu. Now, by the way, this language here, Lechobo Matzah Maror, which was undoubtedly part of the original bracha, because, by the way, this is a little bit difficult to understand without it, suddenly means that this is a bracha Shachianu on doing a mitzvah that comes from time to time. This is your earliest source. Higianu lalai lahazet lechobo matzah maror. And so now we have a model going back to the times of the Mikdash, likely, of a bracha of shihigianu that's specifically said when you're about to do a mitzvah. By the way, when you finish this bracha, what's the next thing you do? In the times of the Mikdash, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Olam, Asher Ganu Gatav Tevim Mitzrayim, Higianu lalai lahazet lechobo matzah maror. What's the next thing you do?
Crunch. Bite down.
One thing first, you finish the second cup. Then crunch and you eat matzah. What's the next thing you do? You eat maror. So this is perfectly suited to be right there as a shachianu that you're saying about the mitzvot that you're about to do. And by the way, you make that shachianu, and then what do you do afterwards? Asher kidishan hamotzi lechem minaret, asher kidishan tzavzivan lechom maror matzah, and then lechom maror. So you see the model here, by the way, about what you asked about being the Shachion in advance. Here's the model. So what happened to the language? So again, I like to contend that the original framing of the bracha was Shigiyanu Lazman Hazeh. It's based on David's words. The Hechiyanu V'Kiyamanu evidently was a Babylonian motif of thanking God for keeping us alive and sustaining us. How do I see it? Because where does it first show up in our literature, Shachianu V'Kiyamanu? Remember? It first shows up here in the Babylonian phrasing of what we call Modim Drabana. Al Shachitanu V'Kiyamtanu. That's Nahardeya. Right? And Kein Tuchayenu, Tchemenu, etc. That's also in Bavel. What happened is you have the Eretz Yisrael bracha, Baruch atah Hashem v'kolam shigiyanu lazman hazeh. You have a Babylonian bracha, Baruch atah Hashem v'kolam shachiyanu v'kimanu lazman hazeh, or that version. And then what happens is the texts reflect the current version, which is said, which is shachiyanu v'kimanu v'kiyanu lazman hazeh. In the style, famously, of Rav Papa, who would say, whenever there were two versions of a bracha, what would Rav Papa famously say? Nemrinu litarvayu. What's the bracha you say after going to the bathroom? How does it end? Baruch Ata Hashem, Rofe.
Kobasar.
Kobasar. Yeah, in the Gemara, think about it. One version is Rofe Kobasar. The other version is Mafli Lasot. Papa says, let's say them both. What's the bracha you say on a rainbow? One version is Shomer Abrit. The other is the Mandarito. The third is Kamaro. Rav Papa says we'll say all of them. That's what Papa Shita throughout. And Rav Papa, by the way, is the one who says right here about Modim, Neminu Lakulu. We'll say all these versions. So what happens? Shachianu Vekimanu, Bavel, Behigianu, Eretz Yisrael, Shachim Vekamu Neganu, Lazman Hazeh. And that ended up, of course, impacting on the text in the Bavli. And that's where we are. So we have completed. So Shachian is not a bracha of completion beginning, bracha of starting, but we've completed our study of Psachim. We completed our analysis of the bracha of Shachian on mitzvot. There's way more to say about it, but it's also past time. And I have something exciting that I want to share with you in a second here. And that is, and again, this should be in memory of Meir's mom and Zev's mother-in-law. It should be a ner lezichra, and it should be a source of inspiration for all of us.